Thanks, Chris.
Well, it was quite an occasion. The Harps led by 3-0 at one stage. Celtic came back. And when you look at the lineups that day, Boba Baldi, Van der Snow, Thomas Gravesen, who had just come to Celtic from Real Madrid, it was a star-studded lineup, and Harps really lifted their game.
Yeah, definitely. I think when we were doing the warm-up and the team sheet come out, you know, it was a bit surreal to see some of the names that was on the sheet. As you were saying, Thomas Gravesen had just returned from Real Madrid, and we were looking at it, and we suppose we could have feared the worst, but they got off to a great start, and it was no fluke result. You know, at half-time, to be 3-0, whatever football was played, it was us that was playing it.
Yeah. Now, they came over. It was a pre-season friendly just before the start of their league campaign. They may have underestimated Harps, but you were going well in the league at that time.
Yeah, confidence would have been high going in there. We had, I think we were in a run of 8 or 9 straight ones in the bounce, and it was something to look forward to, you know, and 2 weeks after it, we had Derry, so we knew we had a couple of exciting fixtures coming up, and we were in there high in confidence, and that's the way we were playing our football. We made a half-time 3-0 up, and like it was as we made 8 or 9 changes, and Celtic kept the same 11 and come back into it in the second half, but thankfully we had enough to hold on to.
And it was a strange scenario in that Finn Park was packed, probably the majority of people there to see Celtic and maybe wanting Celtic to win and see the goals. So and for many of the Harps fans, supporters of Celtic and Harps, it was a case of mixed feelings.
I'm sure it was. It was pretty good out to Sun Park maybe an hour before for the warm-up, and the place was already packed. There were a couple of thousand people in it, and they look around, it was nearly all the green and white hoops, but a few blue jerseys spotted in between them. But our old crowd, to be fair, probably helped us, but we got publicity out of it, and the crowd's picked up for the rest of the year. And when they seen the kind of football that we were playing, you know, a lot of them would have come back. As you said, a lot of Celtic supporters obviously in Donegal, and we probably got new supporters out of it that night ourselves.
Yeah, and the first half performance, when you came off at half time, were you pinching yourselves 3-0 up against Celtic?
Oh, definitely. Like, we were going to the change rooms, and we didn't have to say a lot in our change rooms because Paul McStay was managing them for the night, and he gave our team talk for us. You could hear the shouts coming over between the alley and Sun Park, and we knew we were doing our job, and you could hear him roaring like that. And we made a lot of changes, and a lot of boys got probably made their debuts that night for the senior team, and it was nice to hold on. It's a great memory to have from it.
Yeah, the other goal scorers that night, Declan Boyle and Declan Diven. Your goal, you'll remember it for more reasons than one.
That's right, that was my first goal. I was 80 odd appearances without having scored, and there were a few people waiting on that goal. Anne Kelly, the lady there still at Sun Park, she was waiting a long time on that goal, so thankfully it came up that night, and I went in a bit of a run and scored a couple of days later again. Something I'll never forget, you know, just that feeling when I hit the net and the roar went up and you realised you were 3-0 up against that kind of Celtic team.
Yeah, so, you know, it was only a friendly, but it's not too often that teams in Ireland overcome opposition from cross-channel. And Celtic, you know, nobody wants to lose, and when they came over here and they were 3 down at half-time, you know, almost embarrassing for them, but they had to pick it up in the second half.
Yeah, definitely. We looked at it. Listen, the 2 games when they came over and they played us, and we were the first division team, and I'm sure they were coming out thinking, we'll take these boys, and then they're Galway, and they went tonight, and we had beat them 3-2, and they went down to Galway, and they beat Galway 7-0 a couple of nights later, so I'm sure it was a wake-up call. But they were looking for a competitive game, and that's what we give them. Like you say, there are very few teams that come over, especially now when you see some of the results that they're beating teams, and the likes of Celtic come over and beat Shamrock Rovers 9-0, and probably at the time it was put out as a Celtic 11, but when people read it and see the players that was playing, it does do it more justice when you do read it, and the players that went on to some great careers and before and after the game from Celtic.
Yeah, you look at the team sheet, Adam Virgo, Darren O'Dea, Stephen Presley was there, Paul McGowan, he got a couple of goals, and Gravesen, you know, from the Bernabeu to Balbuffet, what a contrast.
Definitely, I think there's a great story told at the time. When he was coming over, he was told he was lifted from the airport in Derry before the game, when he was coming over, and he was obviously told at Finn Park, now this is not what you're going to be used to. It's a small ground, tight changing rooms, not much of a stadium, and bad floodlights. So he's coming over the bridge and he looks out and he sees the cool park, and he's going, it looks all right from here. I could drive any point of another direction, that he was playing in Finn Park and not the cool park. So
he's going to wake up
and I yard that. But it was great to share a pitch with him. Obviously, he was running around, you know, I don't know what kind of money he would have made in his career, but and it was nice to see that he was there against us, you know.
And after the game, did the players all mix?
Yeah, we went over. We had a big function in Jackson's after the game. So it went really well, and the two sets of teams were photos taken and interviews done and stuff like that. And Celtic, obviously, with their connection to Donegal, were put on a big effort when they were here, and the night went very well.
Yeah. Now you're playing your trade these days with Balbuffet United, another local team, and obviously they're just on the cusp of the beginning of a new season. So what's in store there in the Donegal League for you?
Yeah, well, we start this day 2 weeks. We have the phone to the Shield of the Dunbar McCormick Cup, a trophy we won last year. So we'll be hoping to go out and retain that the year and looking to get off to a good start. It's slow at the minute to get, as I'm sure every team's the same, with Gaelic commitments and holidays and one thing or another. But we'll be hoping to push on. We got promoted last year and we had a great year. We'll be hoping to build on it this year and we'll bring through a few young players with under the age teams are progressing well as well. New facilities have been going out just outside the town here, so exciting times for the club. We'll be able to push on now, especially with the seniors and the panel of players that we have.
And finally, Sean, you naturally enough keep a close eye on how Harps are going, and they've had a pretty good season to date. They're still hovering above the drop zone. They've really strengthened their side when you compare with what was there from last season. I take it you'd be reasonably hopeful that they can stay up?
Yeah, definitely. I still go to most of the games in Finn Park, and I know Friday night was disappointing in the result. But listen, I'll tell you, if you were to call Ollie before the start of the season and going into the last series of games, you're going to be 2 points clear, then he'll have the arm off you. And there's a couple of great results that are going to be brilliant and getting the 3 points. But there are big 3 weeks coming up now, you know, with St Pat's, Limerick and Sligo, and if they got maybe 6 points out of the nine there, you'd be sitting in a really healthy position. And with the effort in the squad that he has at the minute, you know, it is a big push, but hopefully they can get them results before the end of the season and give themselves that cushion over the bottom three.
Yeah, and if you look at the squad compared with the last couple of seasons, there's a bit of real strength and depth there on the bench as well.
Definitely, it's good options to come off the bench if needs be. Both look at you've got Barry Malloy coming off the last night, he can fill things up, and attacking options are the same, and he shines really well because I'm sure with the budget constraints and things like that, but he's got a good panel in place and they play some good football, and you'd be very hopeful for him to stay up now. It'd be great for soccer and Donegal if they'd manage to pull off that.
Yeah, and you know what the first division is like. I mean, it's chalk and cheese. The crowds drop down, and Ollie has mentioned it during the season. You know, if Harps can stay up, well, maybe it can be the start of staying in the top flight for quite a considerable period of time. But the flip side is, if you go down, three going down, it's going to be an almighty battle to come back up. You're going to lose players. Finances will be under pressure. If they go down, it could be years before they get back up.
Yeah, that's the thing about it. Well, the FAI and their wisdom decided to relegate three teams. And I suppose looking at the start, that you would have been thinking you had four or five teams that you're going to be fighting there with, and that's proven the case so far. But the first division is not where Finn Harps belong. You know, it's a massive club, and to see that, you know, the ambition that's there to keep them up there in the first division really is going to be a graveyard, especially looking like Waterford's coming up, and you're going to be going to places, you know, your coves and that, and your crowds, it's going to be like maybe 200-300 people. You're going to have no travelling support to Balbuffet, things like that, and it's going to be a lot harder as well to tempt players into coming to Balbuffet. So hopefully that's not going to be the case, if you're going to be looking forward to playing your Bows and Rovers and Derry coming to Finn Park again next year and getting the young people, you know, looking to go on and push on and play with Finn Harps as their senior team.